USA.org.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Return with us now, James Carrion, former director of MUFON, with us with a long tale to tell, and we'll be continuing it. Meanwhile, Chris took over discussing the dismissal of the state director of Colorado. Chris, let me ask you a question here, because you talk with her. Now, was it proper for her to have taped this session? Was that normal to tape these sessions of the board?
You know, I didn't ask her that directly, Gene, but I would think that some sort of record or log of, if not minutes, at least a recording, is standard operating procedure in any sort of board meeting or, the heads of any group would like to obviously create a record of what it is that they discuss. So, this is really, I don't know, it's quite Machiavellian sounding to me.
But the point is here, was that tape intended to get out? You see what I'm saying?
It's really difficult. I think what James was bringing up is the very fact that it was recorded at all was the issue, because the tape really didn't get out, except to James. Correct me if I'm wrong, James.
I'm not sure if it got out to other folks.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, yeah, so are they objecting that the tape got out to a third party? Is that part of the problem?
Well, I'm not sure what the problem is. I'm just, my speculation about why Leslie would have let go was related to that audio tape, to that audio recording, because it doesn't make sense that she was let go because of her management's file. Her management's file has been absolutely astounding. She's the person that actually successfully ran four or five MUFON symposiums in the state of Colorado, international symposiums in Denver. She built up the membership. She did fundraising. She's been an outstanding member, so I really take exception to Clifford Cliff's reason for letting her go.
Well, from what you're telling me, the real reason is he didn't like the fact that she presented this information to you about what they said behind your back.
Exactly, which then is possibly going to be the basis for a libel suit against MUFON.
Okay, so what are they saying behind your back? Tell me about this tape.
Well, they were not telling the membership or the state directors the truth about the MUFON BAS project. They didn't tell the membership that they were doing these behind the scenes deal with BAS, that I resigned because of it. They also said that no BAS monies was used for MUFON operational expenses, which was not true. What happened was I was authorized to take salary for managing the BAS project, and I didn't take that salary. I turned around and I donated it back to MUFON to cover MUFON's operational expenses. So they were actually not being truthful to the membership about it. So there were a number of things that were said in there. I think one of the most damaging things, and this is not libel, it's just from my perspective, is Clifford Cliff said, well, the reason James left the organization was because he was seeking one truth, and the MUFON Board of Directors was seeking a different truth, which to me is astounding. What is the truth?
Jeez. Really?
Here we have an organization that claims that their mission is the scientific study of UFOs. Well, there's only one truth, and that's the truth that can be proven through science.
Okay, but the other point is here, you've become more skeptical of UFO reality. Is that something that really burn them a little bit? They seem to feel, you know what, he's betraying us because he doesn't believe in E.T.?
Absolutely.
I think it's a combination of that and the fact that that James has, like me and like you, Gene, suspect that, the powers that be, the boys with toys and big budgets, don't want certain secrets to get out. And some, percentage of UFO sightings could be of some sort of security concern to the powers of B. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, James, I'm kind of speaking for you here, but I think it's kind of a bit of a black hole in ufology about, the equation of how much people are reporting are actually very terrestrial and top secret. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, James, what do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the big issue here is that the MUFON board is a board of believers. They believe that UFOs are real, but they don't have a terrestrial explanation. They have an extraterrestrial explanation. It was funny that when I did my talk at the Craft Retrieval Conference in Vegas on
which ruffled some feathers.
Oh, absolutely! It ruffled a number of people. And interesting, if you watch the tape of that of my speech, at the very end, there's a number of folks that get up and they sort of throw the book at me, and one of them happened to be a MUFON board member. So it's these folks, they are diehard believers. And you can't have a scientifically based organization if your personal beliefs are going to get in the way.
Are we talking diehard believers, or are we also talking about protecting certain secrets as well?
Well, I'm not sure if they have a vested interest in protecting secrets, the board itself. But I think that they're naive enough and they believe enough.
James, I mean, for years people have been, just assumed that there was some sort of mole or government, associated person that's been high up in MUFON, kind of keeping tabs of what's going on. I mean, I've always assumed that. And what's even scarier is if the government didn't have someone like that on the board or at least high up in the organization, that would be very troubling. If you know what I mean, one
sure.
is worse than the other.
Sure. Well, I mean, I have suspicions, but I have no proof. But I do know that somebody on the board is leaking, because I sent an email message to the board, and that message leaked out to third parties almost immediately.
A fast question here. Okay, suing for libel. What rises to the level of libel in what they said about you?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing for me is they portrayed it as financial mismanagement, that I have left MUFON's finances in disarray, that I did not act with due diligence, and basically that I was asleep on the job. And so sort of painting me as sort of the person that brought MUFON to its knees, and that's... not only has been said among the MUFON membership, but there are quite a few folks outside of MUFON that picked up on that.
Yeah, it's not good when your actual business acumen is called into question in that manner. You know, this, I'm not sure, what to make of the machinations of a group that's been established for as long as MUFON has. It's tawdry that this sort of thing has gone down, and it's without knowing all the facts like you do. I mean, you were there, you experienced all this stuff, you have the correspondence, etc. It's hard for Gene and I, obviously, to cast blame where it needs to go, etc. But it seems to me on the surface what I'm hearing from you and from my own research is that This was a real blatant power move to continue the relationship with a third party, regardless of how much influence that third party was having on the organization, and you were kind of used as the scapegoat to legitimize the furthering of that relationship. And so what do you think of this? I mean, what are your feelings about the introduction of third parties into a group like MUFON and then these subsequent machinations that occur after that?
Well, I think that, to be honest, I think if there's any control that's going to be exerted from this point forward, it's probably not going to come from outside. It's going to come from within. But now that they have the board in the shape that they want it to be, I think that it would be easier to them infiltrate the organization. And at that point, they don't really need to spend money on MUFON to get the cases they want. If they have so-called volunteers on the inside that's feeding them those cases separately.
Well, that brings me to this question. Now, when you go to MUFON to report a UFO sighting, I'm there right now online, at the very bottom of the report form is a little box that's pretty interesting. It's called the Witness Notice and Election for Release of Contact Information. Now, it's basically saying, it's asking you to agree to the release of their contact information to third parties as part of the investigation of their report. And then there's another box. Both of these boxes are unchecked.
I'm going to ask you a question about that, too, Chris, in a moment, and we'll go into this. We have James Carrion joining us this week. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hello folks, this is Steve Shank. This week we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods, we've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than $1 a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We have James Carrion joining us, former MUFON International Director. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the PowerCast. So I'm looking at the form as you are, Chris. So can you submit a sighting without checking those boxes? I mean, it's kind of like when you go to a store, online store, like an Amazon or somewhere else, and you have these check boxes. Do you agree to send your name for us to send it to third parties or to send you newsletters? Can you post a report without checking those boxes? Anyone?
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Chris that since he didn't have the
phone. Well, no. I'm not in MUFON. You are. In other words, neither of the boxes are checked. So normally you would go to a section of a report form like this, and one of those boxes would be checked as a default. The way it's set up now, none of those, either of those boxes, either agreeing to release the information to a third party or not agreeing to release that information to a third party, neither of those boxes are checked. Now, when I talked to Leslie Varnicle, she brought this point up, and she suggested to me on the record, and I asked her twice, she suggested that there is a preliminary filter that is taking these reports, cherry-picking them, basically, to a third party. Do you know anything about that?
Well, keep in mind that the election notice you're referring to at the bottom of that short form was put there explicitly for the MUFON BASS project. And that was how MUFON legally covered itself when releasing information to BASS. So that would not even be on the form if the BASS project was not in effect.
Exactly, but one of those boxes is not checked as a default. So my, Gene's question and my question is, what happens to that report if there is not a check mark in one of those two boxes? Is that legally allowing a third party to have access to those reports prior to them being posted publicly by MUFON?
And who is the third party if they're no longer working with Bigelow?
Well, I'm looking at the short form right now, and I would have to fill it out, create a bogus report here, just to see if it'll let me continue submitting without choosing. But based on the fact that it looked like radio buttons and not checkboxes, I would assume you have to pick one of the two before it'll let you continue. What was interesting, though, is that when Clifford Cliff was asked that same question on the Joyner report, he said, well, that's not even going to BASS. We have no relationship with BASS. I think that's still there because we released this information to our consultants, our PhDs, which is completely incorrect. MUFON doesn't need to get third-party release to send information to consultants. That information can form the consultants for years.
A consultant is not a third party. They're part of the organization, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's still there, but, it's a matter of web programming. Maybe they hadn't had a chance or the ability to take it down, but they did redesign the site recently, so you wonder.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is that the questions I posed on my blog about this particular election notice and whether or not John Schutzer has a government security clearance related to BASS work, these are all questions that the board should just come out and answer explicitly. Instead, what happens is they've been dancing around the issue. They never give a straight answer. And it just leads people to believe that something's going on that's nefarious. So if they really want to sort of put these rumors to rest, they should just come out and be open and transparent about it. Instead, they're taking sort of this cloak of secrecy on, which I really have no reason. I really don't understand why.
There was some other state directors dismissed, too, not just this woman from Colorado.
That's correct. There was a state director let go from Oklahoma, from Utah, Elaine Douglas, who has been on MUFON for a number of years. Of course, Ken Cherry was let go a while back. Before him, I believe the state director for North Carolina, Richard Lang. So there's a number of folks that were let go since I left MUFON.
What reasons were given for those people? Their management styles, too?
Well, I don't know about, for example, Richard Lang from North Carolina. I do know that for Ken Cherry, he went public and was very critical of MUFON, I believe in some YouTube videos, and Clifford and the board took exception to that and asked him to publicly apologize, which he refused to, and therefore they let him go.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like a bloodletting. Now, over the years that you've been following MUFON, have they had situations where state directors are suddenly thrust out? Is this more of a problem now since this happened?
Well, I think that throughout MUFON's history, state directors have been let go. Most of those were let go because they were non-performing. Even when I was the national director, I removed some state directors who loved the title and loved the position but never did any work. But I think what we're seeing now that's much different is we're seeing sort of a closing of the ranks.
It's a purge.
We're seeing a closing of the ranks where the board is trying to form a certain image for MUFON, and if there are any folks that don't meet that image or if there are any voices of dissent, they're sort of being kicked out, and so that the board has this unified voice, and there's no dissent within the ranks.
Yeah, it's a 501c3. They can get away with it, too. It doesn't have to go to the membership.
That's correct. It's not a democratically run organization.
So they can say, you're out, and that's it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, they demote you to journal subscriber status.
They get JS. We should mention, by the way, that this is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. None other than our old friend Jim Mosley, the editor of Saucer Smear. He went through a whole thing with MUFON, you know, over the years. He knew Andrus, the original director, where they wouldn't even let him be a member. Finally, he convinced them to let him join, and they make him like an associate state regional director for the county in which Key West, Florida is located. And he was dismissed because he never produced any sighting reports, and he said because there weren't any. You know, he was keeping, you know, watch and nothing was happening. They dismissed him and they relegated him to the title of journal subscriber or JS. That's the story.
I still get a laugh out of reading Saucer Smear, and I forget who it was that described Jim as the pimple on the ass of ufology.
John Keel.
Yes.
John Keel, yes.
Yeah, no, a boil on the ass of ufology. Well, he's the court jester. I mean, you have to give him his due. He's been involved in this field over 50 years, and, boy, he's seen him come and go. And, you know, James, I think you brought up the T word, a very important word, I think, to keep in mind when we're dealing with this whole nefarious scenario, and that is transparency. We're dealing with an organization that now is digitized, finally. Could you imagine what would have happened back in the 70s if a tornado hit Walt Andrus's garage in Seguin? We would have had MUFON reports scattered across the Midwest. And it's good. And under your direction, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you were the one that really spearheaded the digitization of the MUFON, you know, well, obviously Bigelow thinks it's worth something, or his sponsors do. I mean, it's a very valuable, you know, log of information. It's a database that's, you know, it's wonderful. Now people can go and they can do word searches in the CMS system.
And they don't have to look up files in a file cabinet somewhere like APRO. You know, well, we don't want to get into
Walt's garage. He had all the MUFON files, somebody told me, in his garage.
I can believe that, you know. We're talking to James Carrion. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, A solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We return. James Carrion joins us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So up till the time the records were computerized, was it like that, just the old file cabinets and file folders and stuff like that, James?
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, it was in sort of complete disarray. So what I proposed to the board was what I termed the Pandora Project, and they gave me the go-ahead to take all those files and properly organize them and case number them and then digitize them. So all of MUFON's domestic files from the U.S. were digitized, and they're in PDF, completely searchable. They've also been distributed out to all the states, so each state director got all the historical case files for their own state. And then, of course, when MUFON's website went up, from that point forward, it was no longer paper files. It was all web-based. So, yeah, MUFON is in possession of an enormous amount of information. But, you know, having gone through most of these historical files, I think there's something like 13,000 of them, I've got to say that what concerns me about MUFON past and even MUFON present is sort of the lack of evidentiary standards that I saw, from not properly validating who the witness is, not even asking for something as simple as an ID. So I think that what we're seeing here is that people are reporting, or MUFON's reporting system, we don't know how much of what's in there are real reports or they're just bogus reports. And we don't know how much of that system is being used by the powers to be for disinformation.
Well, the first part is the issue of concern, which, of course, is validation of reports. Before you even decide if there's a mystery to be solved, you've got to go through the stuff that's not there. But if MUFON doesn't have investigative resources, you know, they have just enough money, except for this project, to kind of keep the thing going. They're depending on state volunteers to do the local investigation. And the other aspect, of course, is training. And, of course, we have this kind of very basic training But are the people who join MUFON and want to become investigators, do they get training sufficient to allow them to really do anything?
No, it's sort of, it's pretty much self-training. MUFON has an investigator's manual that they sell, and new investigators will study that and then take a test. And that's sort of the extent of their certification. But there's no real requirement for training or having a continuing education of any sort. I think for me, though, the big problem is there the methodology being used. When you have investigators going out to the field and they don't actually verify witness identity, I think a lot of times in the past we pretty much accepted at face value that somebody reporting a UFO was an honest person. Well, how do we know who these people really are if we're not asking for any sort of identification? You know, just basic stuff that you would see in law enforcement when somebody's reporting, you know, a crime or something out of the ordinary.
Wow. I mean, that's investigation 101. You have to verify who it is that you're talking to. I would think that's it's a formality, but, you know, it definitely has to be done.
Oh, absolutely. And we know that there are disinformation agents out there. We know that there are folks in the government. In fact, when we were doing the MUFON Bass project...
You know what? Let me ask you that. Let me ask you to explain that better, okay, before we go on. We know. How do we know we have this disinformation group of agents?
Well, because I've been the subject of that. In other words, we've had people... well, I'll give you an example. For example, on MUFON's message board, which is now defunct, we had people posting on there saying, I'm a former MUFON member, and I believe that MUFON is going to hell in a handbasket, and essentially criticizing MUFON to no end. Well, when I turn around and say, hey, as a former member, can you give me your name and give me your ID so I can check up on you? And then they didn't show up on the board again. So when you know, called to the carpet and they don't actually confirm their identity, well, they're not there. We're just talking folks trolling around on message boards. These are people making specific claims. So it seems to me that sort of the agent provocateur that I talked about in my blog. Another example would be during the MUFON Bass project. I had a gentleman call up claiming to be an Air Force colonel and out of Vegas, no less, and saying, hey, we'd like you to send out your MUFON star team here because we think that there's UFO activity over Vegas. And the first thing I said is, well, before we send out our star team, why don't you tell me a little bit more about your background as an Air Force colonel, to which you then hung up. So we have these folks, these strange characters that pop up out of the woodwork making claims. The claims never pan out. And I don't think there's folks out there that do this for fun. I think this is purposely being done to sort of keep us on our toes and send us down the wrong rabbit holes and to muddy the waters we're in.
Ouch. I mean, let me think. Colonels, Air Force colonels in Las Vegas. Oh, I can think of one.
I think Vegas was described as the new spook capital of the world, and I don't doubt that.
And where is Bass's headquarters?
In Las Vegas.
It's funny how that works. Well, you know, James, one question that's kind of been looming over this entire conversation is, you know, other than clearing your name and really trying to set the record straight, I mean, what can you possibly hope to accomplish by coming out publicly and laying your version of events, which I have been able to, you know, in my own way, in my own back channel research, you know, I've been able to verify some of the claims that you're making here, at least to a journalistic standard. And what do you think needs to be done with MUFON? I mean, what could possibly, what good can come from you coming forward like this?
Well, I think that hopefully the good that can come out of it is the membership can voice their opinion about what's happening within their organization. Because the current MUFON board, with any sort of lack of ethics and principles, they're going to sink the organization before long. I think they're going to lose their nonprofit status. I think that as word gets out that of all of these back behind the door deals with third parties and state directors being let go because they voiced dissent, that people are going to stop trusting MUFON as the place to send their UFO reports. And the bottom line is MUFON is a good organization, and there are a lot of good volunteers, but the problem is the current leadership. So we're hoping, or I'm hoping, that the leadership either amends its ways or is replaced.
Well, that's one thing I'm going to ask you here, and, you know, I'm talking in general here. The membership, do they have any power to vote upon directors?
No, absolutely not.
No. The directors appoint directors.
Okay, so it is not a democracy.
Not a democracy.
No.
Okay, so basically the only way you can vote is with your feet. You don't renew your membership, and so the organization can't get funding, so the organization disappears.
Absolutely.
So is that your intent here? I mean, how can you make MUFON improve if you have a director and a staff of directors and an international director who, you know, has this particular point of view and approach? This is what they want to do. It's my way or the highway. How do you change that?
Well, you can't change that. So the bottom line is it's up to the MUFON board to decide whether they're going to change or not. If they're going to disregard what the membership is saying and sort of just listen to their own peers on the board, I think what's going to happen is that they're going to see a significant drop in membership, and also what they're going to see is the IRS breathing down their neck, wondering why they're not performing their mission of serving the public.
Well, that's another thing, too, here. Is the IRS even going to care? You know, this is just a UFO organization. Big deal. It's a bunch of crazies. They have to really do something that's blatantly illegal. I mean, if you went through every one of these nonprofit organizations, I'm sure you're going to find a lot of really weird stuff going on. But it's very seldom, and it has to be really blatant for the IRS to really care about what they're doing, how they're doing, and whether to withdraw their certification. And even then, you know, it may take years to accomplish that task. We have James Carrion. He was a former director of the Mutual UFO Network. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
James Carrion, our guest. Chris O'Brien, the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. You know, when we announced your appearance on the Paracast, James, we mentioned this in our forums, and a lot of questions have been asked, and maybe, Chris, you can pick up on some of those questions and follow through some of the areas we haven't covered so far.
I can do that. I wouldn't know where to start. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, so, you know, some of the questions have already been addressed. But let me go here real quick. And while I'm going to the question thread here, James, I have been watching and reading and watching you and listening to you on podcasts over the past year, and I really get a sense that you've become – in a sense, more conservative and more skeptical over, you know, the entirety of the UFO phenomenon. Why don't you give us a little idea of where your head's at? I mean, you were there in the hot seat, the largest and oldest civilian organization, logging reports of UFOs. And so you had a frontline sort of view on it. How has this altered your thinking? Why don't you kind of give us a summation of where your head is at right now in terms of identifying this phenomenon and your feelings about it?
Well, I think that over the years, being in ufology, and especially when I was as the international director of MUFON, I was sort of in observation mode, just trying to understand what was going on, who was involved, what was happening, and the more I started to observe, the more I got the feeling that what I was seeing was like a magic show in Vegas, where you go, and if you didn't know any better that you were watching a magic show, you would be shocked to hell at what you were seeing on stage. And I think that's sort of the feeling I was getting while I was in the organization, that it was a lot of smoke and mirrors. I wasn't seeing any real hard scientific evidence. I was seeing a lot of deception, a lot of stories that never panned out, a lot of characters that never panned out, a lot of involvement by these, what I call the usual suspects, that seem to have one foot in the intelligence community and the other foot in ufology, and trying to make it all add up, it just didn't. So I thought, I'm going to start digging and doing my own research, And I did some original research that goes all the way back to 1947 when this phenomenon started, at least in the public eye. And as I started doing my research, what I thought was, hey, I've stumbled onto something here that's big. And it's not alien related. It's humans deceiving humans on a grand scale. Something that goes all the way back to the very beginning, back to June and July of 1947. So when I left MUFON, my thought was, rather than try to tackle the whole subject, I'm just going to tackle this small area in that two-month time frame, because my feeling is that Kenneth Arnold, Maury Island, Roswell, all events that happened and are documented, there were forces there that I believe that I had nothing to do with real UFOs flying around. I think there was something on a grand deception scale, something we haven't seen since World War II when we were deceiving the Axis powers.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you one key question before we go into this grand conspiracy. And that is, you know, UFO researchers can point to cases going back centuries, not just 1947 or during World War II or just before, but going back many, many years. You can't say that was a grand conspiracy of this sort.
Well, they can point to evidence, they can point to stories, and that's all they are, is stories. Sure, you can go back and say the aliens built the pyramids, but we have no evidence of that. And just because strange phenomena was being witnessed in the sky, it doesn't mean that it's one continuous phenomena up until this day. So I think what happens is everybody wants to throw everything into the large UFO bucket.
Right. And that leads me to question number one, and this is by Trained Observer. It addresses this subject perfectly. What do you believe the chances are that the various popular beliefs about UFOs are primarily the creations of the intelligence agencies of various nations used to obfuscate and control information about classified terrestrial technology? Okay, that's question one. And if so, how much of what constitutes popular UFO mythology should be rejected outright? Thanks, Trained Observer.
That's a very good question. And so this goes back to my grand deception theory. My feeling is if I can go back and I can prove unequivocally that these three pivotal cases back in 1947, Kenneth Arnold, Maury Island, and Roswell, those three are all grand deception operations, then the whole ufology house of cards is going to fall.
Let me just throw in one thing for you, James. I think most UFO researchers agree that Maury Island wasn't a UFO case. It was a hoax.
Hey, UFO Hunters, that was their first episode. They treated it like it was a real event, and it was legitimate.
Well, you know, Kenneth Arnold was brought into the investigation by Ray Palmer, but okay. Is that the connection? What was Kenneth Arnold's involvement here? Was he someone who made it up, or he just saw something?
Well, it's a good question, but if you look at the history, and I believe Kenneth Arnold is as honest a person as they come. If you read his book, Coming of the Saucers, and you cross-compare it with all of the FBI documentation that was released on Maury Island, what I see is a pattern of deception that and of manipulation. For example, when he flew to Spokane to investigate, and he shows up in town, Tacoma, and he shows up in town, and he has no place to stay, and he calls around, and every hotel is booked, and lo and behold, he gets to the Winthrop Hotel, and they already have a room under his name, which he never booked.
Yeah, that was down in Tacoma. That was in Tacoma when he...
Right. And so he gets and he stays in this room and he shares it with this Eastern Airlines pilot who conveniently also was a skeptic at first and all of a sudden had his own personal sighting up in the air. And then conveniently enough, this hotel was right across the street from the UPI wire. My feeling is that there were powers within the Air Force and maybe some remnants of prior Office of Strategic Services that was absorbed by the Air Force, that were trying to get the UFO story out onto the news media. And they used Kenneth Arnold for that purpose. So I have a feeling that they were trying to push it out there to create the myth, and Kenneth Arnold became the perfect conduit for that because he's an honest person. He claims to have seen something, but we don't know what he saw. But just based on the circumstances surrounding his report and the events that happened up in Tacoma, I'm seeing something that's very odd and very strange.
Okay, let's go to Roswell, New Mexico.
Okay, with Roswell, I think it's most folks don't even see how utterly compact the time frame is. So here we have Kenneth Arnold reports on June 24th. This is the first UFO sighting that makes the mass media. And then within 2 weeks or a little over 2 weeks, we have a crash saucer on the ground. I mean, this just doesn't make sense. And also, what also doesn't make sense is why we have Roswell Army Air Field, home to the 509. These were the folks that dropped the atomic bomb in Japan, handpicked folks who knew the importance of keeping their mouths shut and the importance of intelligence matters, yet they put out a press release. So there are things like this that simply do not make sense just from a logical, rational point of view, common sense point of view. And those were the questions that sort of gnawed at me in the back of my mind as I started to do my own personal research. Is where I started to believe that there was something bigger going on.
Okay, so let me just ask you, based on that, let's assume Kenneth Arnold just saw something. We don't know what it was, test aircraft. Maury Island is some kind of military disinformation trick. Certainly Roswell, maybe that makes sense. But what were they trying to hide? What were they doing just to bring this into the public mind to sell science fiction movies? What?
Well, actually, I'm not sure if you had a chance to read my paper that I presented. If we go back to mid-June of 1947, there was a story that hit the major newspapers, and you can pick up, actually, if you go online, you can find my paper on this, where there was leaked to the press that the U.S., the Brits, and New Zealand were working on a top-secret weapon that was on par with the atomic bomb that was not the atomic bomb. And, of course, this hit the press. It hit all the major newspapers. The press started to speculate what it could be. They started speculating it was an airborne weapon, and then, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, we have our first UFO report. Well, what I find extremely interesting is that they named two of the scientists who supposedly worked on this project. And as I started digging and doing my research, I found out that these scientists were real people. They did work on a real top-secret project during World War II, but that project they worked on was defunct in 1947. Yet they have these same scientists claiming in newspaper articles confirming that, yes, that there was a top-secret project on par with the atomic bomb that was being currently worked on, which were complete lies.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of this in a moment. We have James Carrion. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.